From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, prophecies from the spirit world with Dr. John DeSalvo. There's some program notes for you. Most of you know this. We will have live programs for you Christmas Eve night, that's tomorrow night, and also on Christmas Day night. Okay, two live programs for you. Then I begin my annual vacation on Friday. I'll be gone for a week. Art will be filling in. I think he may be doing two shows, especially his traditional New Year's Eve prophecies show. So make sure you're part of that show. I get the 3 weeks every year, but I only take one, and this is the time period to do it. We don't have ratings during this time period. Well, here we go. The number of existing homes sold during November across the country plummeted 8.6% as prices plunged by record amounts, according to a closely watched housing industry report. The National Association of Realtors said that home sales dropped to an annualized rate of 4.49 million units. That was down 4.98 in October and much less than the 4.93 million units projected by a consensus of industry analysts. They're not showing us anything we don't already know. Things are tough out there. The founder of an investment fund that lost as much as $1.4 billion in that alleged Bernard Madoff scheme committed suicide at his Manhattan office, René Teddy Mogon de la Villehuchon. He's French. Of Access International Advisors, was found at about 8 a.m. Tuesday, sitting at the desk with both wrists slashed. According to New York police, they also found a box cutter near him and a bottle of sleeping pills on his desk. No suicide note was found. He was not implicated in any of this, but he lost as much as $1.4 billion invested with Madoff. He just couldn't take it. Up to 10 people a week are being hospitalized with injuries caused by playing Nintendo's Wii games, prompting doctors in Britain to issue warnings of the dangers associated with the video game system. Most patients are admitted after playing tennis or running games, which involve sudden movements resulting in tendon stretching or tearing. Strange. A spokesperson for Michael Jackson has denied reports that the singer is suffering from a rare respiratory disease and that he needs a lung transplant. Dr. Tomi, that's his name, said in a statement that stories claiming the singer was unwell were not true. And he added that the author, Ian Halperin, who made claims to promote his unauthorized biography of the 50-year-old singer, was part of that. Halperin claimed in the Sunday Express that Jackson was suffering from an illness that affected the blood and lungs. He told the newspaper that the singer could barely speak, suffers from emphysema, internal bleeding, and has lost 95% of the vision in his left eye. A deceased Florida man who aided the flight for Israel's independence by helping send aircraft to Jewish fighters in the 1940s was pardoned by President Bush for his conviction on violating a U.S. arms embargo. The pardon for Charles Winters, who died in 1984, was sought by his son Jim, as well as the Jewish Federation of Palm Beach County. Winters, from Boston, was originally convicted of conspiring to export military aircraft to a foreign country in violation of the Neutrality Act of 1939, which prohibited U.S. nationals from getting in the middle of armed conflicts abroad without the express presidential permission. A Turkish shoe firm says that it's had to bring on 100 extra more people. So here's a company hiring people. Why? To put up with demand after an Iraqi threw shoes at President Bush. The Istanbul-based Baden Shoes claims it made the shoes, which were thrown at the president. It now has tens of thousands of orders from around the world, including the U.S. and Iraq, for the shoe, which was called Model 271, but has now been renamed the Bye Bye Bush Shoe. And they say people are buying them like crazy. If you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, you will see a very unusual story, a miraculous story. A 14-year-old girl with a history of serious health issues lay dying of pneumonia in a hospital room. But as her mother waited for the girl to take her last breath, an image of bright light appeared on a security monitor. Within an hour, the dying girl began to recover. a recovery that doctors are at a loss to explain. But Colleen Banton, the girl's mother, has an explanation. She says this was an image of an angel. She credited the apparition with saving the life of her daughter, Chelsea. The incident happened in Charlotte, North Carolina in September. Chelsea had been born 5 weeks prematurely with the developmental disabilities and had been battling serious health issues all of her life. She is particularly susceptible to the types of pneumonia infections that had taken her to death's door. Told that there was no hope for Chelsea, Colleen Banton had just instructed doctors to take her daughter off life support and allow nature to simply take its course when the apparition was seen. It would be another 2 months before Chelsea finally left the hospital to return home, but where she is about to celebrate now her 15th birthday as well as Christmas. Her mother is convinced that Chelsea was saved by divine intervention. It's a blessing. It's a miracle, she says. You can see these pictures up there at the coasttocoastam.com website, along with Ann Elber's website, because she'll be back in a moment to react to this story about did an angel save this girl from dying in a hospital? Ann Elbers is next on Coast to Coast AM. Ann Elbers, author, lecturer, angel communicator, and one of Ann's passions is to help people realize that angels are like the nerve signals of the universe and to help them connect with the wisdom of angels. She currently serves an international online community of individuals through her free weekly e-newsletter, Messages from Ann and the Angels, and here she is. Ann, how are you? Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, George. I'm doing great. It's a nice surprise to be on the show tonight.
Well, let me tell you, this story came up at the perfect time, you know, as we're going to be talking about miracles over the Christmas couple days here, but I didn't expect this. Get me your reaction, first of all. Have you had an opportunity to look at the video?
I did, and I absolutely believe it was an angel. I've actually caught images like this on film myself when I'm hiking, and I wouldn't necessarily see them with my eyes, but then later when I looked at the digital image, there's a figure standing there. Usually in areas of high reflection is when I've had it, like when I'm near water or one was in the forest with the snow, for example. It seems to be easier to catch them somehow when there's a reflection of light nearby.
I had a photographic expert, Ann, who sent me an email tonight, and he said, George, I've looked at this video now over and over and over with every piece of software I have. There's something strange going on with this stuff. you know, it is interesting that an angel, if you believe in angels, would step in to save someone in need. It's almost as if that's their mission. That's their goal, isn't it?
They're really here to make sure that we live out whatever purpose and lessons that we came to learn as a soul before we came down to Earth. For example, most children that come in with disabilities are great teachers of hope and inspiration and faith. And so it makes absolute sense to me that this angel might have had a soul-level agreement with this little girl to come and work with her and save her and then to help her be a teacher of hope to everybody. Because
so you think
the world needs hope right now.
I was going to say, do you think there's a mission here long-term for this little girl as well?
I would not doubt it at all. I do. Usually these kids grow up to be amazing inspirations. They help others. Some of them end up being healers or social workers. It's, you know, you can't tell yet, but I know this little girl has a purpose.
Who sends the angel, Ann? How does this happen?
Yeah.
Or is this the little girl's guardian angel? Who knows?
Well, I suspect it's the little girl's guardian angel, and guardian angel is our technical term. I think of them as our partners in our evolution. The angels say that they're very much like the nerve signals of the universe. If there's this great mind to the universe that many call God, then the angels are the ones that carry out the messages, carry out the tasks dictated by this higher mind, higher power.
And they're all good ones. I guess, you know, there were fallen angels a long time ago,
yeah, there were
right?
fallen angels, but the ones we usually call angels are the good ones that have no other purpose than to love and assist us. I've been driving on an icy road before and felt myself slip, and I felt hands over my hands take control of the wheel before.
I've had stories when we've had miracle open lines, truck drivers, for example, ready to go off the side of the road over a cliff. They see a hand come on their wheel and pull them back on, and there's nobody else in the cab.
Yeah, I've heard so many of those stories that I'm an absolute believer in angels. I've seen one too many things myself to not believe.
And is there a science behind angels?
I believe there is, and that there will be someday much more understanding of it. I believe there's a science to the whole energetic nature of the universe, where if you were able to measure energy at levels that we can't quite measure it yet, I believe that you could actually see angels and, you know, start to interpret their communications someday. Now, I'm a great believer in technology. I mean, we're doing things today that we wouldn't believe possible. you know, even 100 years ago, we're picking up wireless internet, for example. That was a big mystery way back. And anything wireless was a mystery.
Might they be from other dimensions? Is that perhaps the realm that they are in now?
I do believe that they're higher frequency dimensions than we can currently measure.
And they've probably been around since the beginning of time, way before the physical world.
Yeah, many of the mythologies say that they helped and assisted in the creation of the material universe, for example.
Okay, but why help? Well, I mean, what is this special gift that they have that allows them to want to intervene? You know, I keep thinking of my favorite movie, especially during Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, where he was saved by an angel, right? And his name, George Bailey in the movie, that's the part he played. And, you know, he saves an angel from drowning. Of course, the angel jumped in to pretend he was drowning so George Bailey could save him. And, you know, the whole movie was based on what would happen if you didn't live, if you weren't alive, George Bailey. How many people would be affected by your loss, by the fact that you weren't here? And they went through this whole litany of his life, his non-life, actually. And, you know, it seems that these angels are there in huge numbers to try to help us. But why? I mean,
well, I think of the entire universe in terms of the metaphor of the human body, that, you know, God or the all that is would be like the mind that runs the whole operation. And each individual, one of us as a human being, is kind of like a cell in that body. We're part of the whole. And the angels are like the nerve signals, and they help with the communication throughout the universe. And communication is not just verbal, but sometimes it can be bringing an energy or a frequency into a situation. The energy of help, for example, in this case, where they actually shifted the physical energies in her body to remove the frequency of disease.
This video that we've got on the coasttocoastam.com website that is all over the planet now.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It is unusual. Now, why was it able to get picked up on video?
Well, I suspect there are two things going on. One, the lighting was correct because, it, like I said, it's always been easier for me to catch them when the lighting is a certain way where you get reflection. And the other thing is I actually believe that they intended this to be caught.
Well, now explain that.
I believe that this whole event, if you will, the saving of this little girl, was a setup between her spirit and God and the angels trying to, you know, show the world that miracles are possible and that everyone needs to have hope and inspiration right now. And I believe that they can adjust, the angels can adjust their energy to show up or not show up on film.
It will be interesting to follow this little 15-year-old's life as she grows up and to see what happens and to see if she's been affected by this at all. I guess I would bet, I would take odds that she's going to turn out to be a pretty decent young person.
Oh, I'm sure of it. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because I love looking at miracles. I mean, it's one of my favorite hobbies. And in almost every case where there's a miracle, somebody has completely surrendered the outcome and has no attachment to what happens. And in this case, that was the case. The mother and the family said, okay, you know, we're going to take her off life support. We're going to just wait and see what happens here. And sure enough, it's in that moment of surrender that the miracles seem to take place. I think we open ourselves up to something greater than we can conceive when we surrender like this.
The angels that we've been talking about are from higher powers, I assume, right?
Yes.
Do they ever, gosh, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I mean, does anything influence their ability to perform or their power to perform?
Our free will can influence how much influence an angel has in our own life. For example, they always want to help us, love us, you know, bring us unexpected miracles. But if you don't believe that you're worthy of it, or you push love away, for example, or you have a very negative attitude, that free will choice on your own part can actually push away some of the help and assistance that they want to bring into your life.
No, I was going to say,
it's not that they couldn't override that, they could, but they honor free will.
A lot of people don't believe in angels. They just don't. They might believe in a higher power, but they don't believe in angels. They may not think this is real. They may think this is foolish. What do you tell these people?
Well, first of all, I'm not here to change anyone's beliefs, but what I would tell them if they asked is ask for an experience. You know, figure it out for yourself. I don't want somebody to believe something because I said so or they wrote it in a book, or read it in a book, rather. I want someone to believe something because they've had an experience. So I would tell people, if you're curious about whether or not angels exist, ask the angels. You know, just say to them, if you're really there, make your presence known to me somehow.
Could angels be spirits that have departed, that have died, from loved ones, for example, family members?
We use the term angels somewhat loosely. I mean, technically speaking, you know, traditionally angels haven't been incarnated in the physical form, but that's changing. I've met children that are absolute angels coming into this earth right now. I've met people in spirit who have passed on that are very enlightened and, you know, are very angelic in nature. They come from pure love. I wouldn't say that everyone who passes is necessarily angelic. You know, some people still have a lot to learn.
How did we depict angels as having wings? How did that all start?
I believe that actually comes from the connection they have to the lines of energy in the universe. And I believe that when people saw them, they probably saw this high concentration of light reaching out into the universe around the wing area.
All right, let's use this little girl as an example. Your mother was going to take her off life support. You know, it was just about all done with. And she makes a miraculous recovery. True miracle happens. They happen every day. In this particular case, something very strange is caught on video. Do you ever think angels, though, get to a point where they say, I give up?
Luckily, no. That's a question I hear often. They will continue to try to help and assist and awaken a person until their last breath, and then they'll be there on the other side welcoming them with love. It's love that's inconceivable to us.
Even though this happened in September, I think it's incredible that, you know, it would become so revealed right about now.
Yeah, I thought that was rather odd, too. And I suspect that's just people need hope. People are a little bummed out this year. I get tons of emails from people who can't do Christmas the way they're used to doing it, and, you know, financial troubles, and people are dying. And there's just a lot out there that, you know, where people are in need of this type of upliftment.
How do you summon your guardian angel? Not necessarily to see the thing. Well, I better not call it the thing. I'm sorry.
No, I know what you mean.
But how do you summon it up?
Yeah, literally like you'd call your best friend. You just say, okay, you know, you say you're kind of skeptical. You go, okay, if I've got an angel, I'm going to be open-minded. Reveal yourself to me. Please show up in my life in a way that doesn't scare me, because some of them are, you know, mischievous. I've had people all of a sudden ask to see their angels and wake up with, you know, the feeling of a hand on their arm. And
so
that
you
can be a bit much for some people.
You try to teach people about angels, mm-hmm. about being the nerve signals of the universe. Explain that.
What I mean by that is, what, you know, the function of a nerve signal is to go from, you know, the mind, the brain, to all the different parts of the body. The function of an angel is to carry light, healing, and information from God or higher power, higher mind, whatever you want to call it, to each individual aspect of the universe, meaning us too. So the angels are the ones that will, in a sense, be the messengers for God, or the carrier frequency, so to speak, at times, if you were going to put it in a different language. And what I try to teach people to do is to assume, first of all, that they're connected with the rest of the universe, because if you don't believe that, you're not going to really have an easy time connecting with angels.
So you have to have that belief system first.
Well, it does help. It really does help, because if people don't believe that they're connected with some sort of loving higher power, why would they believe there's anything out there to help them?
We'll open up the phone lines for the last half hour with you here, Ann, and maybe people can share stories with you. But I would guess that angelic stories of incredible miracles, there must be a lot out there.
Amazing. You know, there's a lot of closet mystics out there. There's a lot of people who have had experiences, paranormal, angelic. I know you've talked to the whole ET crowd all the time.
Yes.
There are so many people out there that have had these experiences, and they just don't know who to talk to about them.
Do they appear, though, during certain times? I mean, times like Christmas, where more miracles pop up? Do they maximize publicity?
Cute. I haven't ever been asked that question, but typically they appear more often when a person is in real need. And so it doesn't have to do so much with the season, even though I believe our news probably helps us pay more attention to it during the season. But what I've seen throughout the year is they appear, or they show up in some way when people are in need, when people are really down, when they have an illness, you know, when their life is in danger, when they've been praying really hard for something. That's when the angels tend to show up more clearly.
Do you have to have the angel to have the miracle?
Not really. And the reason is, and this is kind of a difficult thing to put into words, but we live in an energetic universe.
Right.
And the angels are part of that. They're not separated out from it. You can't separate them from that energetic universe. They're just part of it. Now, you are also part of the universe, and if you had a belief system that was so firmly rooted in the faith that you had the power to cure yourself, then in a sense, you could be the angel that heals yourself.
That's true. We get all tapped into it. Stay with us. We'll open up the phone lines this holiday week. Ann Albers, our guest, as she reacts to this incredible story about did an angel save a girl from dying in a hospital. That's up there at coasttocoastam.com. Top of the hour, Dr. John DeSalvo joins us as we talk about the spirit world and some other incredible things of prophecy. When we come back, though, we'll take your miracle stories with Ann Albers on Coast to Coast AM.
This is Christian Wild wishing all you Nuriites out there a happy and healthy holiday season. Now, Santa may be traveling just a little lighter this year, but the good news is he's going to do it without a bailout.
Christian Wild, who brings us great information on your health. By the way, this information is just coming into me, and I haven't had an opportunity to talk with anybody at the network about this other than Art has apparently posted on his webcam in our deepest condolences. Apparently his mother has passed away, Jane Lee Bell, and our deepest condolences. You know, she had sent Art a video congratulations message a month ago when Art was receiving his National Radio Hall of Fame Award in Chicago. She was not able to attend that. And he's got posted on his webcam, which, you know, is buttoned to coasttocoastam.com. And well, it looks like she just passed away maybe within hours ago. I don't have any information on this at all, but our deepest condolences there. Ann Albers, always sad, always sad. But let's take some phone calls. You ready, Ann?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's go to Fort Worth, Texas. Pat, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Well, I heard her say that you pray to angels, right? But you don't pray to angels.
No, you pray. I'm sorry if I said that. I didn't mean that. You pray to God, and then you would ask the angels for assistance.
Yeah, you command the angels.
There you go.
They're here. Okay.
There you go.
I wanted to be sure about that. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Now, and what do you mean by you command angels, Ann?
Well, you just basically say, I need this, please. Help me with it.
Oh, anytime I ever commanded anybody, nothing happened.
Say, I need comfort, and I'll say, okay, I'll send you angels for comfort. And I'll say, angels, please go over and comfort this person.
Okay, let's go to Joplin. Dan, east of the Rockies. Hey, Daniel, welcome.
I'm going to tell the story to Ann, which is the very first one that I ever told you when I decided to go by Dan, the blind man of the angels of Joplin, Missouri.
Okay, I remember
this
that.
This is your favorite one. All right, here's what happened, Ann. An angel came to me and said, don't use a plane ticket to return home. Let the woman drive you across the country. She was sleeping in the back. A young man was driving, and I was in the front seat, and it was a van filled with 9 people. And there we were. He fell asleep on a mountain road. The angel came, took my hand, put it on the steering wheel. I kept it from going over the edge of the cliff, and then I woke him up.
Wow.
Yeah. So angels help me all the time. They teach me music. They've kept me from being electrocuted, from being burnt, from being struck by lightning,
wow,
being hit by cars. They help me all the time. They've helped me to call, like to go to places before people have diabetic comas, and they help me all the time. Matter of fact, I have angels visit me all the time. They're here today, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I won't keep you.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, very good, Dan. Thank you so much. That's a great story. Great story indeed. Next up, let's go to first-time caller in Dalton, Georgia. Nelda, you're on with us, and Ann Albers. Hey, Nelda.
Hi. Hello. Ann, I don't know if you remember, I've emailed you a couple of times.
Yeah, last time I was on, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering, I've been going through a lot of strange things lately, and I have been trying your routine of before I meditate, asking the angels to appear to me, to give advice. I'm living with someone who is very negative in my life, and I can't seem to overcome that. And I'm just wondering if you do personal readings or whatever you would call it with angels concerning one individual.
You know, I do, but unfortunately I've got a list that's too long to take new people. I do have good referrals on my website, however.
And give us the website, Annie.
Oh, yes, www.visionsofheaven.com.
Visionsofheaven.com. Very good. Do you have to be very religious in order to do this, in order to communicate with angels?
Believe it or not, no. I've taught people of all different faiths and some that you'd consider spiritual but not religious, even people that weren't sure what they believed in. And the bottom line is whether we believe in a higher power or not, it exists. And whether we believe in angels or not, they exist. And so if you can keep your mind open just a teeny bit and just give it a go, you'll find that people of all different faiths have had these experiences. And when, with no faith.
When the angels fell, okay, from heaven, mm-hmm. The fallen angels, and we know the biblical story of what happened. I'm not mm-hmm. going to ask you that. But it seems to me that angels then have personality, that angels do get greedy, that angels do get upset, that they get jealous with mankind, for example.
The angels that are still, when we say in the heavens, I mean in that vibration of unconditional love, don't really have those thoughts. However, the problem occurred when, you know, according to the legend, of course, one of them decided that he knew more than God. And it is a classic case not only of Satan, but also of the human ego, that all of a sudden when we believe we know more than the thing that created us, well, that's a problem. So typically the angels don't get into that type of thinking. They do have, you know, the ability to make different choices, but most of them would prefer to stay within the realms of love and assistance.
Let's go west of the Rockies, Mendocino, California. Jeffrey, hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, first condolences to Art on the loss of his mom. And, well, son of an angel, I tell you. Now she's up there watching for him.
But I'm absolutely.
Glad she was, yeah, I'm glad that she was still here to see him get that award.
Yes.
I was in a rollover car accident on Highway 1.
Wow.
And I describe it as bubble wrap angel wings wrapped around me and protected me from getting hurt and injured. And, you know, George, we've talked about in the past how you go into the hyper-awareness. It's like when they do slow-mo on the mm-hmm. NFL plays. They have 90 frames per second, not to get too technical, but it's normally 30 frames per second. When you play that back at 30 frames per second, it seems slow, but what it does is it gives you that hyper-awareness where you're actually receiving information at a higher speed to adjust. And I thought I was going to get nailed and T-boned at a car coming at me from the other direction. What it did is I felt like I was working with the energy of the angels on that. Instead of it slicing me, it caromed the back of the car. So instead of going end over end, we went sideways like being in a dryer.
Amazing.
And I think that was part of what saved us rather than being as drastic an angle. So I really do believe that this happens. I've experienced it personally. And the hyperdimensional and hyper-awareness aspect, I think, is part of the energy realms that made me very aware that we can connect with and be assisted and assist in our own rescue and incorporate that with the angel. So keep working in the light, George. Thanks for staying up with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, you, Ann, you're in the. How did you get involved in this, Ann?
I was an electrical engineer, and I just told God, higher power, I said, I don't know what you want me to do with my life, but I don't think this is it, and could you please show me the way?
I thought you were going to tell me you got zapped or something.
No, I don't. You know, my story is not as glamorous as a lot of people who ended up suddenly believing or suddenly talking to angels. I worked for it.
Do you have a guardian angel that you know?
I've got a bunch of them now that I work with, yes.
And go ahead.
One of the ones I originally made contact with, I felt as a presence around me. You know, the gentleman described bubble wrap. It was a warm, fuzzy electrical sensation all around my body. It took me 2 weeks to get her name. I sat there and I tried and I meditated, and I realized I was trying too hard. 2 weeks later, I gave up, and then I saw a name in my vision clear as day.
Ontario, Canada. Hey, Ken on the international line. Hi.
It's Kevin.
Okay, Kevin.
Yeah, it's Kevin in Iroquois Falls, Ontario. First of all, I'd like to wish my condolences to Art Bell on behalf of the IPAS International Paranormal UFO Society on the loss of his mom.
Thank you, Kev.
And, Anne, I'd like to ask you, is there do angels communicate with us in our dreams?
Absolutely.
Because I honestly, I've been contacted by my grandmother on a few occasions. I like to believe I did.
Yes, these are visits, and you know when you got a visit because it feels so darn real when you wake up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also, my uncle, he was murdered back in 1999, mm-hmm. and apparently he's been contacting members of my family for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, he contacted my my aunt, his sister, my dad's sister,
mm-hmm.
and saying they wish the family happy holidays and whatnot. But yeah, members of my family have contacted us after they've passed on. We believe that they're their angels now.
Yeah, absolutely. And family members often try to communicate with their loved ones because they want you to know they're okay. The
yes.
other dimensions are absolutely wonderful, and they want you to know that they're fine, and they want to make your sadness and your grieving easier.
Yeah, that's what I believe that Mémère, that's what we call a French-Canadian, we call her Mémère.
Uh-huh.
She visits us. She's visited me a couple of times. They're always, whenever you meet the family members that have passed on, they're always very lucid dreams. Like, they're not the kind of dreams like, you know, you turn around, you're in a different location and whatnot. These are very chronological, lucid dreaming, like real to life, and you meet the people that you love that have passed on, and you know, it's like you're talking to them like in real time.
Yeah, it's so real that when people wake up, they're often disoriented a little bit because they thought they were, like, awake.
And, Albers, has anybody ever recorded energy levels on instruments that could possibly be angels?
You know what? I can't give you the answer to that one, only because I don't follow the scientific community's paranormal investigations as much, but I assume so.
Next up, let's go to Larry, Nashville, Tennessee, first-time caller. Larry, thank you. Go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Good.
It's a pleasure. It's been a very long time that I've tried to get through. I'm pleased to that you guys took my call. I have two real quick stories, Ann. First of all, you know, we grew up in a home that was very faith-based, and it was a big, big part of our life. And there was one particular occasion where my father was out of work for quite some time and due to a brain tumor. And I have two mentally disabled brothers, and one of them had his first seizure. And my mom had, she rode in the ambulance with him to the hospital. And my dad followed behind. We lived kind of out in, far out from the city. And he actually had, you know, like 50 cents to his name and no gas in the car. And so he was driving in, and I guess my dad said a prayer, just, you know, please, I just want to get to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Pouring rain out, runs out of gas halfway there.
Oh, boy.
And he pulls over. And gets out of the car. I guess he was going to walk up to the exit and hope that he could give his license to a gas station and what have you, and just that they can give him some gas and he'd pay them when he could. Well, not only he gets out of the car and instantly this big old clunker. I guess my dad had always described it as like a Sanford and Son type of guy gets out of the car and walks up with 2 5-gallon containers of gasoline and filled up the car. And my dad said, sir, I can't repay you. And he puts his hand on my dad's shoulder and said, John, don't you know who I am?
Oh, my God, that's beautiful.
He said his name. And then turn around and walk.
I love it.
And so I mentioned that I have, you know, it's a great story. It gives me chills still, too. And I have two disabled brothers, as I mentioned, and I have one brother with autism. And what he does, even as recently as a couple of months ago, when he's home visiting or he lives in a group home and comes home quite often, he's just sitting in the living room and all of a sudden he'll just look up, wave and say hi.
So he sees.
And we say, John, what was that? He goes, oh, that was Moses the angel just checking on us.
I love it.
And you know, he'll do this quite often. Have you ever heard this with other individuals? You know, he's rather high functioning for, you know, having autism. And have you ever heard of anything like this before? I mean, he does this on a regular basis.
Oh, I've had a client's autistic kid in my office watching the angels above my head before. Yeah. I see it a lot with the kids, in fact.
Yeah. Well, it's a real kind of soothing thing. And I'm like, what are they doing, John? He goes, they're just walking around the house.
You know,
we're okay.
That's the truth. They're all over the place.
And we get stories, of course, that pets seem to see spirits because they're looking in corners and strange things like that.
Uh-huh.
Do you think, too, that they may be aware of angels?
I am absolutely sure of that. I used to do something called trance channeling for a short while, and there used to be a Native American spirit that I would allow through me, and my dog would ignore every other spirit that came through me, but when I was channeling the Native American spirit, I'd wake up. And my dog had dropped toys in my lap and was staring intently at me. He seemed to like that one particular spirit that came through.
Buffalo, New York, Kelly, east of the Rockies. You're on with us. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, George. Hey, Ann. How are you tonight?
Hi, thanks.
Great.
Good. I think my first angel miracle story is that I got through.
That's a big one.
And I've never gotten through before. And I actually was saying, okay, angels, if it's important for me to get through, let me get
Kelly,
through tonight. And the phone started ringing. I was like, oh, my God, there we go.
That makes Tommy your guardian angel, Kelly.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to call just to confirm anybody who's out there who thinks angels are kind of nice little things. You know, like I used to do. I always loved them. You know, have little tchotchkes around the house, you know, with angels and stuff. But I can't. I thought I believed in them, but I can't say in actuality after some experience I had that I actually did, but now I do. I went to, about 10 years ago, went to a psychic party where someone actually did angel readings and got some pretty interesting information. The lady actually that did the reading challenged me to try talking to mine. And I was like, are you serious? And she said, oh, yeah. I figured, would that be too scary for you? And I said, no, I guess not. And I started kind of trying to do that and realized I was kind of getting information back, and one day felt very compelled to go to the store where this woman worked and found some wonderful things. And I found all the books that Doreen Virtue, who I know you all know about, writes great stories about angels, and picked up her book, Healing with Angels. And there was a particular prayer in that book that I found really nice and really liked and was saying it. And I actually had gone to a friend of mine who does clairvoyant readings here in town, and she said, you know, I'm picking up something. She goes, I don't know who you've been talking to. Have you been praying to angels? She said, I'm kind of getting this Gabriel.
You're busted.
I was busted. I'm kind of getting this Gabriel energy. She goes, they're not really letting me see too much, but they're giving me a little peek, and they just want to let you know that they're listening and they're working with you. And I just started bawling my eyes out. I was like, oh, my God, this is real.
Yeah, it's really an amazing
thing.
They
are really real.
If you open the door, they'll walk right through it because they want to make sure you know that you're loved and helped and assisted. And
yes.
It's hysterical. I ask for help with everything.
I do too now, and I find that it's interesting in her book, Healing with Angels, there's a section in the back where she talks about how they try to communicate with people through number sequences.
Mm-hmm.
And a year after buying this book, all of a sudden I started realizing I was getting these numbers in my head, and I was like, what the heck is that? I get 9762, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what that is. And all of a sudden I remembered that these numbers were in the back of the book, and I started looking at them and thinking, oh, my God, I'm getting communicated with. And now whenever I'm going through a transition in my life, I get those numbers still to this day. And it's such a wonderful confirmation that
you're
kind of on the right path.
Anything, numbers, license plates, songs on the radio, anything they could use to get your attention and let you know they're with you.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's it. Sure, thank you. Have a great night.
All right, Kelly, thank you too. Let's go to Gia in California. Hi, Gia.
Hi, yay. I'm so excited. I was praying. Okay, hi, George. Hi. Okay,
hi.
This is my story. Okay, I was having my first baby, and I had a C-section, and the second night, I think it was the second night, I looked down, and my stomach was kind of distended. It was kind of big. But I figured, you know, I just had a baby, didn't know anything about that, you know, so whatever. And I was uncomfortable because I had a C-section. And the nurse came in and said she was going to go on and break. And I was like, okay, cool. And
Hey, Gia, yeah. You hit the break, but I am not going to let you go without telling us this story. So I want you to hold on, okay? And we're going to do something a little differently. Our main guest is right around the corner, but I'm going to keep Gia to tell us her story when we come right back after the first of the hour. She just got too excited to be on. I can't take her off.